This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Bright and cheery on a Friday morning in summer in South Africa. Wow, what a week we've had. Do you feel like being put in a positive mood? If you aren't there already, I mean, a lot of people wake up and they're like, oh, God, I could have done with 2 hours more. I mean, who doesn't, really?
I think the word Friday must be in, like, the top 10 of happiest words you can hear as a human.
It is.
I'd love to see the study or the survey.
I've got the list right here. Yes, it's there it is, number four.
Oh, the three other words in front of
Friday? Three other words, yeah.
Oh, I know what they are.
Yes, they're all to do with genitalia.
Yes.
Oh.
And then number five is open hyphen bar.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Except in Muslim countries where that drops all the way down to 15.
Priorities, you know.
Yes.
15.
But it's still there. It's still very high on the list. Alrighty. So here's something to be very excited about. And I tweeted about this yesterday because I felt, you know what? We should stop bitching and moaning because we do that a lot. And we're in South Africa so used to bad news.
Okay.
Am I right, Mubs?
Yeah,
it's bad news. Whenever it has to do with politics, you're like, oh, God, I know this is going to make me sad. But not this. So I said, you know, what a great day or what a great week it's been for accountability in South Africa. Just yesterday, I was listening to that drunk Batabile Dlamini grilled over SASSA, and she had no answers. And it was so nice to see that finally her arrogance and incompetence is being called to order by the special investigative what did they call it? Special commission that has been investigating this in Midrand. And she was eventually like, I've got to speak Zulu, because then she's hoping like she can explain herself better. But she couldn't even do that because the translator was kind of embarrassed to even give answers. And you know, it's like she's finally being brought to a point where she has to explain her damn self. And she can't, because she's just basically been working for the Zuptas. Poor woman.
See, that's the problem with the Zuptas.
She's just... No, she should never have been put in this position.
Well, obviously,
it's not her fault. She's just... She's a very ordinary, very unremarkable human being who should have remained in unremarkable circumstances. That Jacob Zuma and his people used her in order to fill a post because she was pliable and malleable and dim enough to not question anything, is kind of insulting. You know, for a guy who always said, even though we know he did very different things, he like respects older women, and he doesn't. But Batabile was like a shill for him, and he treated her like that, because he's not sitting next to her at the commission holding her hand, saying, you know what, I'm sorry that we put you in this situation. Anyway, there's Brian Molefe. Yesterday was ordered to pay back 11 million rand of his supposed pension that has already been paid to him by Eskom. They've all said it's illegal. I heard his lawyer. His lawyer's like, oh, this has hit us like a ton of bricks. Oh. I'm like, really? Anyway, he's got to pay back. I saw Kadani Mahlangu being grilled over Life Estimani because she says, how's this? She goes, I don't know how to answer these questions. I'm just a politician.
Well, maybe that's the honest truth.
Well,
she's just a politician.
Yeah, and that's precisely why she should never have been put in charge of such an important health matter. They should use qualified doctors for those positions instead of appointing political heads. We don't need the political heads. Look what happens when we have them. They end up screwing up and people die, especially in a department like health. Thank God there are some doctors in that ministry who are able to advise occasionally in the right way. I saw Steinhoff were called in, and the books are being combed through, so there's going to be some accountability there. And they say that those books were a complete and utter disaster. There was lying and cheating everywhere you looked. And people are just not happy. So they're going to call these guys to order. The only, by the way, the only director who stood up and said, I'm accountable, is Marcus Uster, who is mysteriously absent at the moment. Someone told me he's in Argentina trying to sell racehorses desperately because he needs the money. But what? All the other directors...
Well, seeing as his racehorse aren't allowed to race here, are they?
Well, I don't know. They race all over the world. He's like the third biggest racehorse owner in the world or something.
But wasn't there something about his horses aren't allowed to run in the Met this weekend?
Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't want them in the Met. People would throw tomatoes at the poor horses.
And Argentina is just the place to be with horses?
The horses didn't do anything to anyone.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
There's always a scapegoat.
No, those horses...
Or a scapehorse.
Those horses see the rich guys and they go towards the nubs.
But here's the other thing, right? The Steinhoff bunch... All the other, none of the other directors have said, I knew about this, and I'm sorry. Or, you know, and here's the thing. Like, if Brian Molefe, Redani Mahlangu, the other directors of Steinhoff, Batabile Dlamini, if these people had just said at some point, you know, I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, I think we are a very forgiving nation. We might even have been a little more compassionate. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be... You know, probed, and that these things shouldn't be investigated, and that we should just forgive things and not humiliate people. I get that, but I just would feel better about them as people, because there's been egregious harm here. Mm. In each of these cases, there's been massive harm. In Eskom's case with Brian Molefe, huge harm to the country. Where even the finance minister, who used to be the public enterprise minister, who was part of the problem and is now trying to solve it, said this Eskom crisis could plunge South Africa lower than ever before. Just before he went to Davos with Cyril. That's Malusi Gigaba. With regard to SASSA, we almost had a situation where 16 to 17 million South Africans who are dependent on social grants didn't get them, which could have led to the most revolting social upheaval. And by revolting, I mean a revolt of people who have no other means to sustain themselves. And in the case of Redani Mahlangu, I've gone on about this so many times, it doesn't require much more elaboration, but people died. And if there isn't a greater cost to a bad decision, I don't know. And in the case of Steinhoff, billions wiped off our stock exchange. Individuals who've built businesses that were bought by Steinhoff, who were paid in Steinhoff shares, who've been reduced to nothing. Sad stories of people who put their savings in there, who put their earnings in there, who put things in there that they hoped would bear fruit. And they were lied to. These are people who need to be held accountable. And of course, the exciting thing about this week, with all of this coming to term, is that the ultimate culpability has to rest with the guy at the top. And I've heard from various sources, this is going to be his last Friday as president. And long may that last, and may we celebrate this day, like Zimbabweans celebrated the end of Robert Mugabe.
You're the Rand.
Oh, yeah, if you want to take a position.
Rand's doing push-ups right now.
Because as soon as Cyril's got back, and I've heard great things about what's been said at Davos, very honest, very meaningful dialogue. Alec Hogg wrote a piece yesterday, which I read last night, and it just looks like things are turning in the right direction. And it's very, very good news. I feel very buoyed by this. It's a great way to start 2018. So be happy this Friday. You know what else I realized? Uh-huh. Like I'm feeling better because I've been on these meds for the last 2 days. And we don't appreciate how good it is to not be sick when we're not sick.
Yeah, it's nice being healthy.
We take it for granted, don't
we? Yeah, I was fantasizing on Tuesday or Wednesday night, probably both. I was thinking, it must be so nice to be able to breathe through your nose. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. You know, it's the little things. So that's what I have to say.
That's nobody gives a shit.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
That simple in-out process of breathing.
I know. Take it for granted. Anyway, so how's everybody's weekend looking? Anything exciting planned?
Solid. Getting wrecked at the cricket today.
Oh, nice, Ben.
Oh, what does wrecked mean at the cricket?
So, yeah, every
do
now
you
again,
wear one of those watermelon hats?
No, that's
at
stupid.
The end of the day?
You sticky head and ants. Well, that's just the dumbest thing in the world.
Hang in there, big head.
You know, see, so, yeah, every now and again, you seem to go get wrecked. And today at the cricket, I'm going with my two brothers, and that's what we're going to do.
Where are they playing this cricket thing?
Wanderers.
It's like you never Wanderers. Listen to me.
I don't.
You just don't.
I don't.
And it's just nice you remind me about this every week.
Is it going to be a whole weekend affair?
Well, she's just, the way the pitch is playing, the game's in fast forward. There might be some rain today, so probably will last until Saturday. Uh-huh. Sunday, no. Sunday, I'm playing golf.
I heard the Indians are complaining about the pitch a lot.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, they're actually doing quite well on it, so they can shut up.
All right.
Test cricket's not for the faint-hearted. People must stop forgetting this. Those pitches are going to be horrible.
Yes.
Hard and fast.
Well, we get into some of that in the sport, no doubt. Graham says, morning team, so Lauren Southern and Katie Hopkins are doing an expose on racial farm murders. Would be great to hear either one of these people interviewed, if you please. And on yesterday's podcast, Winnie says, Graham, screw her, she murdered Stompy, she can eat hard cheese, and Mugabe and Zuma deserve absolute misery and humiliation, hung, drawn, and quartered sounds sufficient. Yo, Graham, you're waking up with a lot of malice in your heart today.
Well, he usually does.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
See, mm-hmm. Graham's a pillar in his own right. He's consistent. And consistency is a beautiful thing in life.
It's carry on.
Don't ever change, Graham.
Hey, meanwhile, the pet parade on Cliff Central is marching steadily on. Pet parade, of course, hashtag pet parade, something we're doing with One Plan Insurance, where everybody who's submitted their pet pictures gets to compete in a poll that we've got up. And yesterday I saw some very unfair game playing by Ben. He clearly coaxed people here at Cliff Central into assisting him to get votes for Miaz's. They were basically calling to the cat people. And you know how powerful the cat lobby is on the internet.
Cat calling, essentially, Gareth. Call it what it is.
Yes, cats on the internet are among the five most searched things, most memes and GIFs. In fact, cats were among the most shared things on the internet virtually every year since the internet existed.
Well, exactly. Cats have actually helped internet progress.
Yes.
So if you're sitting at home right now as a forex trader, whatever, thank cats.
Yes.
I see nothing wrong with your strategy, Ben. Survival of the fittest. This is how you win in life.
But, Mubs, I've already said, Gareth and his smug dog, Carl, are already so far ahead. And he's going to Carl's head. Yeah, he went for a haircut the other day.
So did you.
He didn't get groomed like other dogs. He went for a haircut.
Yes, he went for a haircut.
Mm. A fashion-style haircut.
No, he did.
And he's lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
He's barking at the dogs across the wall.
He's feeling very full of himself.
So what do you think you can do about this, Ben? Are you going to dress Meowsers up in a bow?
Well, firstly, Meowsers is kind of above a competition. She's in her own class. Ooh. That's always been the case.
He says so modestly.
It's nice. It's nice to be part of something cool like this. But at the same time, she's not fussed.
Huh. All right. We'll see.
You know, any pageant.
What do you have
world?
To say, Meowsers?
Meowsers, you were brought up better than that. No, she went.
No, she's from the streets. Okay. All right. So listen. There's lots to talk about today, man. We'll take your calls. We'll take your thoughts. You know what to do if you want to WhatsApp us, 079-748-2090. If you want to call, 0861-555-189. What's up? Tell us what you are thinking about, what you're planning for the weekend. I saw Fresh last night.
Stop.
Yeah, he says hi, Mubs.
Best laugh in the world.
Yeah, it's the best. He's such a happy dude. I sat with him. We laughed for about, I don't know, 40 minutes. Yeah, we had to go on this red carpet thing at this event I was at. And so he and I were like joking with Mups Maponyane. He's like, go ahead, Mups. You know what to do. So he goes along on that. Then we interrupted his photographs. And I mean, we don't know what to do on a red carpet. Fresh and I stood there like lummoxes. And then Boy T was there and Pearl and like a whole lot of it was very cool. We were all sitting together talking shit.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Were you doing the Tando?
Yeah, Tando Tabeta was there as well.
Oh, she was. Oh, she looked okay. Good. So you weren't doing the Mark Fish challenge with one of those pictures?
No. No, I was trying to name everybody in my tweet and then I ran out of space.
Aha. Uh-huh.
No, they were all there. And I saw Derek Watts. It was pretty fun. It was like this car award thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just try and find the car of the year. And then this guy from Suzuki wins. He's this little Japanese dude. And Fresh turns to me and goes, wow, they must have built that little Suzuki based on him because he looks like that Suzuki.
custom built for him.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, they won car brand of the year again.
Yes.
So he must have had a big night.
So I saw Matt Kanaya, who we sometimes have in here to talk about cars.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Chiro, who started here with us on a car show?
Yes.
Well, he's at cars.co.za. He's grown up in leaps and bounds, that guy. He's doing video for them and all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so well done to him. It was nice to see him. Who else did I bump into? John Flismus.
This is quite a crowd.
Anele.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was Pearl. She went up on the stage. She says to Anele, hi, Batabile. Anele laughed and laughed. It was funny.
Glad she has a sense of humor. No, it wasn't.
Anyway.
So yeah. You didn't stay out too late?
Oh, I was... Are you kidding? As soon as the awards part was over, everybody was like, yeah, let's go to the bar, let's party. And I was just sneaking out the back.
Of course.
Not because...
Professional, Gareth. But nice.
Well, I needed to get my sleep. And
you've been sick.
I've been sick, so yeah, I did the right... That's the most sensible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a great fun evening all around. And they're probably going to be... Lots more reasons to celebrate, I'd imagine, in all the different industries as we see things improve with the economy. Cyril says we're going to grow by, what, 3-4%? I don't know if he's got any justification for that, but apparently he's been a real hit at Davos.
Mm.
Wowing and wooing, impressing.
That scarf, guys. It's that scarf.
It's that scarf. That scarf can win just about anything.
There's going to be Madiba shirts and Cyril scarves. That's going to be the legacy.
Stuff.
Oh, for sure.
And Zuma court cases.
Zuma court cases.
And then Becky single malt. That's the whole run of things for presidents.
Oh, those are great South African pins.
Yes, those are the things we will always remember.
What they're defined
on.
Oh. So someone in America said, you got to give millennials a break because baby boomers and Gen X people in Congress cannot keep the government running. And Generation Z is eating Tide Pods for likes on YouTube. This Tide Pod thing is hysterical. Have you been following this?
No.
They've actually taken them off the shelf in some places. Because,
in some places, they're padlocked down.
Yeah, because Tide Pods. These are washing. They're washing pods, detergent. And people are eating them to win YouTube challenges. It's just unreal how dumb people are.
Have there been any deaths?
I think they have, actually. I think they have, because they're now locking them away.
I mean, I don't know, guys.
Is this just humanity trying to cull our own numbers? We're not aware of it, but that's what's happening.
I think when there's a certain weight applied on the Earth's surface, like a certain gas gets emitted, mm-hmm. that really stupid people just really hit their straps.
Yeah, stupid gas. I've heard of that. It's an actual thing.
So it's more like survival of the fittest, just sorting itself out here.
Yeah, it's Darwinism. Yeah. That's why we'll be here Monday to Friday, 6 until 9 every single week.
Because none of us are aspiring to eat.
Tide Pods.
No.
Spot on, yeah.
Are you sure?
You know, it's not
you
on the menu.
You know, try. It's very trendy at the moment.
All the cards for me.
Tide Pods.
Imagine you go to the kitchen, like at an office place, and you find Tide Pods, like in someone's cooler bag. Like, what's going on here?
Listen, I know this is old, but someone sent me this on my phone the other day, and I made a note to actually play it. Do you remember when Willy Madisha was standing up in Parliament, and he was giving shit to Naledi Pandey?
Oh, Honorable Madisha.
Hong, hong, hong.
Yeah.
So someone sent me the whole clip the other day. It's still one of the funniest things ever. And, you know, as much as I like and respect Naledi Pandor as Minister of Science and Technology, and I really do,
mm-hmm.
Here's this Willy, and he's like a naughty child. He would not stop. He'd apologize, and he'd go, hong.
Yeah.
And they'd say, stop it, Mr. Madisha. Please apologize. Hong.
I'm sorry, I withdraw hong.
Yeah, listen to this. It's great.
What I'm putting to you is, I'm going to withdraw this truth from the House. Now. Okay.
I withdraw. He said, I withdraw this truth. It's not a truth. Can he remember proceed?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Here it comes.
You see, some of us don't know English properly.
Can and you, then
we
Madisha,
can only come and say,
Honorable Madisha,
hong, 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 like that.
Honorable
member.
Madisha.
Yes.
Hong, hong, hong. Honorable Madisha.
Hong, hong,
Honorable Madisha.
That's the only thing that she knows.
Honorable Madisha.
Yes. Thank you.
Honorable Madisha, you have actually exhausted your time. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson.
Hong, hong, hong.
To hell with you.
No.
To hell with you.
The Chief Whip. I withdraw that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I withdraw.
Honorable Honorable Madisha, can you withdraw what you have just done?
Yes, I withdraw, of course. I withdraw.
Hong. You know,
that is someone's father.
So exciting.
That is someone's husband.
So exciting.
That is a leader in the community who is meant to be looked up at.
Hong, hong, hong.
Shoo.
So much fun. Like, you got to admit, though, that, you know, this makes politics exciting when they all turn on each other. Yes. It's so great.
There was actually a comedian who I watched who actually said, why do we still have to refer to these people as honorable when they're doing unhonorable things?
Yeah.
Like Honorable Madisha and grown-ass man going, hong, no, you're stupid.
I told you there was a guy who worked at the petrol station on Grayston Drive who I was sure he looked exactly like Willie Madisha. And he was working there exactly after the time that they fired Willie Madisha from... Kasatu. No, really.
What a massive fall.
I said to him, do you get people telling you you look like Willie Madisha? And he said, yeah, it's happened a lot. So it wasn't just me. I wanted to take a picture with him and like tweet Willie, but I thought that's probably nasty because this petrol guy doesn't want to be like associated with politicians. Anyway. So let's see what's happening. I've got a couple of clips for you from American and British TV, which are quite funny. Do you know who the U.S. ambassador? What was his name? John? The guy? He was the former ambassador to the UN. Let me just see if I can find this because this is pretty damn funny. I mean, yeah, there's a lot that I laugh about, but this is particularly entertaining. This guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just find his name here because the whole clip is saved here. I spend my whole day just saving stuff so we can play it in the show. Where is he? God damn it. Give me a second. Let me just find this. Here. And there we go. Ah, excellent. All right, so this is quite funny because it has to do with that woman I've often spoken about, Kay Burley, on Sky News.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Kay Burley?
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So Kay Burley is that she does like the lunchtime show or whatever. She's very strident and she likes to wear these titty dresses and so on. There's nothing wrong with that. So Ambassador John Bolton of the U.S. decided he'd had enough of her insulting Donald Trump and said to her, he called her a munchkin in the media, among other things. And I tried to set her right, and she did not like this at all. So I want you to hear it. It's entertaining. It's not going to take too long. It'll probably make you smile this morning. Because, you know, we always like it when those very arrogant people in the media get put in their place. And you can only do that if you have facts to back you up and if you've got, you know, some kind of credibility, which this guy certainly had proven he had by the end of the interview, that's for sure. Ambassador John Bolton. She was interrogating him about some of the things that Trump had gone back on in terms of the deals that he had not honored. The Iran deal, which they say that he's, you know, slid backwards on. And John Bolton just explained the basic politics to Kay Burley. I thought this was very well put. So you decide. Take a listen to this.
Well, I want to come back to your comments. I'm going to be a little bit more direct here. I think what you said is offensive and inappropriate. You are a munchkin in the media, and you may have your opinions, but I think your job is to try and present the news accurately and not editorialize. If you'd like to tell me where you think the president has behaved in a way you disagree with. Let's have an example of it, and I'd be happy to deal with it.
Okay. What in particular are we talking about? Are we talking about what's happening with Iran?
You said the president slips in and out of deals. What's your problem specifically?
My problem specifically is that we were talking about Iran. I was saying he wants to get out of the deal that the United States has done as far as Iran is concerned.
There's nothing slippery about that. It's entirely appropriate when a country realizes it's made a strategic mistake or circumstances have changed to get out of an international agreement. I can give you any number of examples. President George W. Bush, for example, quite correctly took the United States out of the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty so that we could have a national missile defense capability to protect against the likes of Iran and North Korea. That's not slippery. That's operating in the national interest. Do you think Britain is slippery for getting out of the European Union? Maybe you should call your whole country slippery.
Really, Sir Peter,
it's just uncalled for.
Okay,
it's uncalled for
you to behave
that way.
We're going to come back to you in just a second. Calm down, calm down. I may not be a munchkin, but I'm certainly beyond a little bit lower than average height.
My point with you, to make it very clear, is that I think you're unprofessional. I think your comments were uncalled for.
Okay.
And maybe you think that's your business. Now, perhaps you'll let me finish this time.
Please.
I just don't think it advances. Thank you. I don't think it advances the cause of informing your listeners.
Okay.
Jeez. He really laid it out for her.
Sucks.
You just got it. You know, I love the fact that we live in a time and place where people aren't allowed to get away with bullshit, and they challenge each other. Now, I don't know whether I would have been on her side or his, but it's always nice to see a real fight. And both sides want to bring the facts, and then whoever's facts are better wins the argument. That's all.
Mm. But it's a great argument. Like, I forgot how good of an insult slippery is.
Yeah.
When you refer to someone as being slippery.
Yeah. Donald Trump, according to Kay Burley, is slippery. All right, we've got lots to do. We've got very little time to mess around this morning. So, Mubs, what can you tell us about the five things we need to know today?
Well, let's begin with the University of Zimbabwe, which has now published the thesis that was submitted by the former First Lady, Grace Mugabe.
Oh.
Remember, she was controversially awarded that doctorate, and it is now the subject of a fraud investigation. Zimbabwean anti-corruption investigators said last month that they are probing whether Grace fraudulently obtained the degree. It is a 226-page thesis titled The Changing Social Structure and Functions of the Family. And the work, which is submitted under Grace's maiden name, was dedicated to, quote, the President of Zimbabwe, Comrade Robert Mugabe, because of his dedication and commitment to the well-being of Zimbabweans.
She didn't just say my husband.
No, I mean, that would not have been appropriate.
Because a lot of people dedicate their work to their spouse because they know their spouse had to suffer for a long time to help them through it. You know, it's hard to put together a thesis.
I don't really think that she's the affectionate type.
Oh.
She doesn't strike me as such. I could be wrong.
You may be right because it could have a lot to do with his saggy old balls.
Yeah. You know.
Right.
And then Japanese carmaker Toyota has recalled more than 700,000 vehicles in South Africa. They're saying that they have an issue with safety bags being used in the cars. Toyota.
Oh, everybody with Toyota, is there a specific model?
Well, it includes the Lexus.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But it is vehicles across 10 models, so it's quite a big number.
Sure.
What
do you have to do? Take them back?
Well, I mean, I suppose Toyota contact you and then they come and fetch the car and then they leave you with a replacement vehicle and then they sort it out.
Look, unfortunately, this is, I wouldn't say commonplace, but it happens more often than not nowadays.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, we all know that massive Ford recall. There's been recalls across many, many brands, not just these guys.
No,
have had more than they would obviously want.
Mm-hmm.
Because Toyota used to be the slogan, everything keeps going right. Remember that?
Yeah.
They don't use that anymore.
Now everything keeps going back.
Well, it's just unfortunate, but I suppose it's rather, we would rather choose them to be responsible and say, listen, there's a problem here and we need to talk about your car and then replace it at great cost to themselves, obviously, over the millions of cars that they've sold, than have them try to hide it like when Apple said they're not slowing down older devices. And then it turned out that they were. Because then people go, you lying sons of bitches. So, all right. If you're driving a Toyota, then just expect a call sometime today.
And then the DA say that they want Ubabaka Duduzani and Duduzani to testify at the state capture inquiry now that the terms of references have been released. What are these terms, you asked?
Yeah.
Well, Zuma's terms for the inquiry were finally published and released in the Government Gazette yesterday. And in it, he wants the inquiry to investigate all forms of government corruption, including allegations against him, his cabinet ministers, the Gupta family, as well as state-owned entities.
Sure. Do you think Duduzane will come?
Sure. I mean, I don't know, hey?
If this commission summons you, you have to come.
Hmm. Which, yeah.
What's he going to say, you know?
Well, he's going to have to answer some questions. Some tough questions.
And it won't be like that soft interview he was given in Dubai.
With the BBC.
Yeah, you remember that? That was a soft interview. Hey, did you hear what Cyril said yesterday?
About? I mean, he said a lot.
Baba Gaduduzan.
Oh, did he speak about
him? Oh, yeah. Let me find this clip for you. This is interesting.
Obviously, then I'm assuming he was speaking in Davos.
Hong, hong, hong. What's here?
Hong, hong, hong. Honorable Madisha.
Exactly. Where is this guy? Here's our deputy president, right? The president of the ANC, Cyril Ramaphosa.
President Zuma has not said he wants immunity from prosecution. And as it is now, there are quite a number of charges that are being looked at, which could be preferred against him. So he has not asked us that. But what we are looking at...
Can I just ask, would you suppose, just to take it down the line, he was to stand trial, as you say, there are these allegations, and I'm not prejudging anything.
Yes.
But if he were to go on trial and then to be found guilty, and if you were president by then, you could exercise your presidential pardon. Would you pardon him?
Now, this is interesting. So she's asked him, would you pardon him if one day he's found guilty?
Good question.
So he has to still go through the process. And Cyril, at this point, could go, I would consider it. And that would mean, like, I've thought about it, and maybe I'd want to help the guy out. Mm-hmm. But listen to his answer.
We have the rule of law in our country, and people always want to see justice done without fear, without favor, without prejudice. So whatever will need to be done, say, to President Zuma, will have to follow the due process of the law.
Clang! Do you hear the prison door shutting on him now?
Yeah.
I don't think Cyril's going to help him out.
And Sadie, it's another thing that'll make the country love you.
Hey! Just keep playing the right moves, my guy. Keep playing the right moves.
Oh, I found the clip of Brian Molefe's lawyer, a guy called Barry Farber. Do you want to hear him talking about... He was talking to Karen Morn. Listen to this quickly. All right, so... Here he is. He's talking about Brian Molefe, right? Let me see if I can get this clip up. I don't know why it's not playing. Come on, talk to me, Barry Farber. Why is this not going? There we go. Let's try this.
Who's the, like, the less scrupulous lawyer? Zuma's lawyer or Brian Molefe's lawyer?
I think Brian's lawyers are less scrupulous, hey?
Can you imagine that? Who represented today? Oh, Brian Molefe. I need the money.
All right, let me try this again. I think I got it working. Here's Barry Farber.
He just wants to be treated fairly. He did a lot for Eskom in his own words.
He did a lot of Eskom, comma, in his own words. This lawyer is a good lawyer. I'll tell you what, he's covering his track. He's not going to be pulled into that shit. He's like, he did a lot of Eskom in his own words.
And he wanted to be remunerated.
Well, how do you react to the court saying that this narrative about early retirement was contrived and false, and that there was...
I cannot comment. The judges are able, strong bench.
But they're basically saying he was lying.
Well, then that's what they were saying. I can't come out here and vow that he was telling the truth.
When your lawyer comes out and says, well, yeah, the bench were pretty much calling my client a liar, I'm not going to say he was telling the truth. You are so alone.
This Bazza sounds like a drunkle.
Well, Barry Farber.
Yeah.
Bazza.
Sounds like a drunkle.
He's out there.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you know, maybe he was paid on the dope system by Brian. I don't know. You don't know what's going on there. All right. Anything else from you, Mabs?
Nope.
That's it. All right, let's get to Ben. Let's see what's happening in the world of sport. Lots of people very excited about the cricket. And here he is with all the info you need to know about that and many other things. Here is Ben.
Well, the protesters would have started day two thinking this is it. We're going to springboard towards a whitewash. Well, the Indians were like, screw that. Protesters bowled out for 194, which was a 7-run lead, so you got to give them credit for that, on a pitch that's doing a lot. Now, when you want to know what do you mean the pitch is doing a lot? Aren't pitches all the same? No, this pitch is malicious. This pitch is like a scorned woman with an AK-47, basically. It's just rough as all hell. And it's difficult to bat on it. So people are saying, oh, this isn't cricket. But bollocks, this is entertaining. Every single over has been exciting in this test match because a ball can jag back out of nowhere and bowl someone out. It's going through to the keeper of various angles. There's variable bounce. It's exciting. So we're going to day three, and there's already been 21 wickets fallen. 21 wickets in day three. But it hasn't been ridiculous as the fact the ball's kept low. I mean, there's still a challenge to be had between bat and ball. And India, well, they took the challenge and they ran with it yesterday. They scored a very handy 49 runs before the close of play yesterday. So they're 49 for one. They lead by 42 runs, and they've got 9 wickets remaining. And as you know, in Test cricket, the pitch does deteriorate, so we just get more and more difficult to bat on. So the Proteas, well, they don't want to chase anything over 200. I don't think they want to chase anything over 180, really. And the fact that the Indians are already 42 runs to the good, what a fascinating day ahead. The weather doesn't look so flash, it might rain a bit here and there. Either way, we will get a result in this Test match. Will it be the Proteas? Right now, I've got to say, it's like 60-40 for India. And good on them, they've really bounced back. Their bowlers were just very skillful yesterday. You know, obviously I still believe that the Proteas bowlers are better as a unit, but they just didn't get the right lengths. And this is what you do on a bowler's wickets. You've got to concentrate almost that much harder, because although the conditions are favouring you, you've got to use all your skill, because sometimes the ball is unplayable. And if it's unplayable, then they're not getting an edge. They're not getting the guy out. So discipline here is what's needed, which is exactly what Otis Gibson will just said to his players. So basically, I'm just probably pre-plagiarizing. I don't know if that's the thing, but it is now.
You can't pre-plagiarize, Ben. You're reading his mind.
Okay. Well, cool. That sounds better. Sounds less offensive. And Aussie Open tennis. Well, that Edmund guy, he was doing so well. And then he had a bit of a bitch fit because he said the linesman wasn't implementing the laws consistently or whatever.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, his head suddenly went up his own ass. And with that, Marin Cilic won 6-2. So he's through as the big Croatian. Who will he play? Well, he'll either play Hyung Chung or Roger Federer.
Hong, Hong, Hong.
Hyung Chung. I tell you what, this guy won the sort of Gen Next. So there was a big tournament this year with last year.
Mm-hmm.
The next generation of great tennis players. So basically, I think you've got to be under 23 or something. And Hyung Chung, he won that. He was this big star. So he's now in the big leagues. And you can't play against a bigger name than Roger Federer. He's won so much. He's such a nice guy as well. His hair flops just so. He's perfect. There he is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That game will be taking on today. And then the women's draw, the final, we'll see the number one seed versus the number two seed. It's all gone to plan here. Halep versus Wozniacki. So if you wake up tomorrow morning from Australia land, you'll be able to watch that. FA Cup. We all know that's a big tournament over in England. It's where all the small clubs can play the big clubs, and then, you know, festivities and all that kind of stuff. Yeovil are hosting Man United. Do you really care? It's fourth round, isn't it? Let's care about this when it gets to fifth round and plus. I'll tell you what you do care about, though, is the PSL this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Because Chiefs will be taking on Sundowns. This is a big match because Chiefs have had the wood over the Sundowns the last few matches. But Sundowns, of course, are the title contenders, the top of the PSL log right now. And I think it's a 5-point gap between the two teams. So Chiefs are also kind of more resurgent than in previous seasons. So that match will take place 8:15 Saturday night. Other matches to look out for? Well, Sivasspor United, Erik ten Cloete will be shouting at his players to try to deliver something against Bidvest Wits. They'll be at 6 o'clock on Saturday. And Pirates will be away to Platinum Stars at 3:30. There are other matches, but where do we ever find the time? In golf, so much to have happening on the golf this weekend because the Farmers Insurance Open, where Tony Finau has a one-shot lead, and that is a Torrey Pines. Tiger Woods, he shot 72. You know, there's an actual Twitter profile that tracks every single one of Tiger's shots.
No?
It's called GC Tiger Tracker.
Wow.
It's incredible. Someone basically just stalks him and tweets about his every move. So if you want to know what Tiger's doing, follow that guy on Twitter. So Tiger is 7 shots back, he had a 72, which is, well, it's satisfactory, I guess. He played on the south course, which is more difficult on the Torrey Pines layout compared to the north course. And the top South African there is Rory Sabatini. Although he's a bit of a doer, so everyone forgot about him. On the European tour, though, that's Dubai. What an amazing event this is. It's the Omega Desert, Dubai Desert Classic. It's one of the European Tour's sort of flagship iconic events. And Jamie Donaldson, he shot 62 yesterday. That's 10 under par. 10 under par for 18 holes. That is incredible. The Welshman has, well, ever since he was really good at Celtic Manor, sorry, not Celtic Manor, Gleneagles for the Ryder Cup, he sort of buggered up his wrist and he's been out of form, but really is coming back hard here. And Rory McIlroy, what a good run he had, 65, so he's 7 under. Darren Fricart is 4 back, along with Hayden Porteous. Finally, the Two Oceans Marathon. Should it happen in Cape Town? Well, it's scheduled for Saturday the 31st of March, which of course is a few days before day zero. People are saying, well, we don't need all these different tourists stealing our water. It's irresponsible, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, these are big events. There's big sponsors involved here, so they will spin this to hell and back in order to make it go through. But there's been some guidelines that have been put in place. No municipal water will be used at all during this event. There'll be no showers for the runners at the finish. You smelly runners, get back on the plane and go back to where you came from, which would be delightful.
God, I'm going to stay away.
There will be refill stations available for hydration pack users. So they encourage you, all users, to be self-sufficient, as in you must run with your own bottle, basically. Oh, this is so terrible.
It sounds awful. Why would you put... First of all, you're running, which we know from the Bible is evil. Because they say in the Bible, only the evil man runneth when nothing is chasing him.
Hallelujah, brother.
That's the truth.
And we follow the Bible to the letter on the show.
We're very religious people, and I feel that we should quote the Bible more. So that's why I'm going to start today. Perfect. Anyway, so that's the first thing. Second thing is you have to carry your own water. Third thing is you can't shower afterwards. I mean, what a horrible situation. Do me a favor. Find another hobby.
See, the difficult thing is, when you really break it down, is yes, it's a strain on the ecosystem, it's a strain on the water system, all that kind of stuff, but it's also an injection of like 675 million rand to the area. So, yeah, this is what happens when you waste water here, Cape Town. Sorry, that sounded mean.
You think?
Well, hey, it was 39% of people are saving water as of last week, so I'm sorry, there's a lot more dicks than nice people in Cape Town when it comes to water. Yep. So, good luck with making that the right call, and 50 litres per day. Because if people come into your city for this Two Oceans Marathon, you got to share your 50 litres. Yep. So then basically you're on 25 litres a day. Because those runners have to shower. They can't get back on transport smelling like that. Mm. And they're dirty, and some of them soil themselves too.
Mm. Well, some of them can go to Helen Zilla's house and she can teach them how to do it while saving water.
There's only one bucket for her feet and her nectarine.
You know, she considers herself very good at that these days.
She's not sharing her nectarine cup with some sweaty runner.
She's got enough sweaty things to deal with. Betty Swallocks. She's putting her feet in buckets and sending us pictures. I mean, the woman is clearly desperate.
And she's surprised.
Can someone from Joburg just send her a six-pack of Valpray or something? Just to even, you know, to level out the burden.
Do you know how easy birthday gifts are now for people living in Cape Town?
I'm going down on Sunday. Guess what I'm taking?
Bring it in a bow.
Yeah, but...
Ramban, like, thank you, ma'am.
What is not like... something you can take, like, hi, I'm going to give you 5 liters of water. You carry 5 liters of water for more than 5 steps in your life.
A kilogram of water weighs, a liter of water weighs a kilogram.
And at Woolworths are slightly different, though.
Really? Are you saying they're cheating you, Ben? All right.
Okay, Ben.
You guys, did you not see the joke with the loaf of bread?
No.
Yes, Ben, I got you that they make the bread much lighter than it should be, and they've been lying to us since the cartels. You got to have a long memory to get Ben's jokes.
I mean, look at me, just trying to be witty in the current affairs, and I get crickets in this place.
Ben, it's a Friday. Our brains are not even on yet.
Screw it. We're meant to be at the forefront here on the show.
All right, carry on. What else do we have?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, huh?
Right.
Look, it's about the cricket. If you're in Gauteng, go watch the cricket this weekend. Just do it.
And the best thing about it is great. Drink as much water as you want while you're at the cricket.
Yeah, and then go home and have a shower. But don't, like, waste the water, though, because that's just silly.
Right. There's a guy who
I saw that. I know what you're going to say. Go on.
Oh, my gosh.
Go on.
He filmed himself at a tap.
Yeah.
He says, hey, Cape Town, opens the tap, pours water in the mug, and then spills it down the drain.
Hong, 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 hong.
Hong, 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 hong.
We got a caller. Yes, do you want to talk? You're from Cape Town. Go ahead, ma'am. What is it that you want to tell us this morning?
Oh, please. Your mom is a cunt.
I'm sorry?
Wow.
How dare you?
kind of a response is that? Are you in the Cape, the Western Cape government, or are you just a concerned citizen?
You know, I don't want to listen to a loser. Shut the fuck up. I hate you, fucking cocksucking bitch.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, see, Patricia, idle hands.
You're a dick, don't you? Fucking bitch. Go back and suck on your father. God, suck. You can't suck. Go back to where I was going to talk to you.
All right. Just calm down, please.
Hell and hell around junkies and people shit and pissing and throwing up on the floor smoking crack and cigarette in my hallway.
All right. Sorry. Patricia, there's nothing we can do to help you this morning. Let's go to Sia. Yeah, I know. It's very
angry. Sia wants to get rid of her, huh?
It's time for Said by Sia. I think she's been at the bottle, I've got to be honest.
Jeez. Well, this morning, such a weird connection, but this is intriguing to me. Do you guys want to know how chickens and goats have caused likelihood of child marriage to plummet by 90%?
This sounds like chickens, a not very positive story.
Chickens and goats.
Really, when I discovered this story, I was fascinated by this. So, while some African regions have outlawed the likes of child marriage over the course of the last decade, sadly, the practice is still around in certain communities, and girls and women who are forced into marriage at a young age are less likely, for example, to get an education and face negative physical, emotional health, and social consequences as well. But thankfully, there's a New York City-based nonprofit organization called Population Council, which has developed what I really think is a groundbreaking program that has reduced child marriage rates in countries like Ethiopia and Tanzania. And the key to these positive results lies in goats and chickens. This is how they do this. So they first launched in 2004, and they attempted to discourage the practice of recruiting local community leaders to gather villagers together, and they started having conversations about the negative impacts of child marriages. During these conversations, these leaders then said to these villagers, well, listen, firstly, from these conversations, they discovered that most of these families actually give away their daughters because they just can't afford to raise these children. So they said, we will give you between 17 and 22 US dollars a year for the daughters, for school stationery supplies. And then secondly, they then allocated female mentors to young daughters in those regions. And then thirdly, they said, if you do not marry your daughters off for at least 2 years, we will give you chickens and goats.
Wow.
Because to us in modern society, we're like, well, these are just random animals. But to people in those regions, these things mean that we can now have chickens, we can
sustain
have
ourselves,
we can sustain ourselves, and then you start growing your crop from there.
It's got to suck to be poor and have like 20 children. And of course, it's your fault, but it's just got to suck. I mean, to have to actually think about marrying off your child daughter to someone, it's so crass.
For like $17 to $22 a year.
Yeah, look, I get it. And if a goat or a chicken helps someone to be a civilized human being, let's give it to them, for God's sake. We can't leave.
So crazy.
You know, you're only as good as the worst among you. So humanity is only as good as someone who's willing to sell their daughter because they need cash.
Who knew that one simple chicken could make such a difference? But looking at the research that this organization has done, in the past 2 years, girls aged 10 to 14 who were enrolled in the program were 90% less likely to be married than girls who were not enrolled. And in communities where girls were only offered 2 chickens for every year they remained unmarried, and in school, girls aged 15 to 17 were half as likely to be married. And when girls aged 12 to 14 were only given educational support, they were 94% less likely to be married than girls who were not enrolled in the program. So it seems like such an arbitrary tactic to go about making change and bringing change into the world. But I say, if it takes a chicken and it takes a goat to put some positivity in this world, then I'm all behind that.
Right.
It's amazing stuff. The organization was called Population Council, and they're doing some great, great work here in Africa. So,
I suppose that's good news in some way. It just shows you how like basic humans are. A chicken and a goat will solve the reason that so many people are selling their daughters into slavery. Yeah, we talk about things in the sort of civilized world that are way, way beyond what very basic people are concerned with. They're concerned with, they see their children and they go, there are too many of these, I can't afford them all. If I could sell one, I mean, that's how people are thinking. So if a goat helps, why the hell not? We got someone from the Goat Council on the line. Yes, go ahead. What? Oh, they say they're very proud of the fact that goats are able to tame humans into not giving away their children.
I didn't know you were fluent in goat.
Oh, yeah, please. It's a very interesting language.
So talented.
Goat, it's terrific. All right, so we got a couple of news things we want to get into just now. A lot of people are saying that this is possibly the president's last weekend as president. We'll have to see whether that happens or not. I don't know. Anybody got any inside info?
No, sorry, I don't have a Zoom on my speed dial.
No, neither do I. Maybe Mubs can help us. We'll find out after 7. CliffCentral.com. The only thing I haven't given you this morning so far is the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and so on prices, mostly because it's still nowhere. Although today the futures get announced, so expect a little uptick. That's what Run, who is our consultant on such matters, tells us. So let me give you the prices. What the hell? And we can compare them next week and see if it's true. $11,490.92 in dollars for a Bitcoin. That's $11,490 for a Bitcoin. One Ethereum, one Ether will cost you $1,068.43. Monero, interestingly enough, is hovering somewhere around $324 after a high of something like $430. Couple of days ago. Ripple is bubbling around $1.305 this morning. That's what you need to know. All right? Are we happy with that? There's a little update for you. All right, when we come back, some news.
This is CliffCentral.com.